Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. In case you're wondering, I am in the New York area. I'm on Long Island, and don't ask me to explain that. I have no idea where I am. I thought Long Island was a borough, and I found out that Long Island is an island. It's its own thing. So anyway, we are doing something different today in that it's almost like a simulcast. I'm with Kathy Cole, who has her own radio show. Those of you who are now listening to both Kathy's show and my show, you know her show is All Fact Up, F-A-C-T. I don't want to say that word wrong, because then everybody would know exactly what I mean by her show is All Fact Up. And now on my show, and so we've never done this before. I don't know if BBS has done this before, but we actually are going live both to my audience and to her audience. And we're going to try this and see how it works. And as I've been trying to do ever since I've been on the road trip, I'm doing a show live from the area in which I am and trying to deal with the issues that are here in this area. In this case, it's the state of New York. And so I'm going to get in that for a moment, but also let me just say, too, I arrived here, I think it was Tuesday. I've been sick ever since. I've been taking all kinds of medication, trying to get rid of a cold, a sore throat, et cetera. I think I'm going to be able to get through the show today. If not, Kathy is prepared to take over if I lose my voice. And hey, Lisa is going to chime in, and Eve, people that I know who've been on the show before. So you guys are going to be my backup if I lose my voice, and I'm beginning to feel a little cracking in it now. So let us get straight to what's going on. Last spring, I did a show with Lisa, who's on the show right now, and we were talking about the victory that the parents and the teachers pulled off here in the state of New York. Unheard of number of families who opted out, and that it sent shockwaves through the establishment, and we discussed that. This show is going to be somewhat of a continuation of that, in that Lisa and her organization of over 50 individual organizations came together and formed this very powerful alliance. I'll let her tell you about that. And something that they just recently did, I think it was today or Sunday, it was Friday, they released a study that made me think this is something that we need to talk about. So let me get straight to it. Today we have from Buffalo, Eva Shippens, who was on the show the last two shows. We have, let me say very quick on everybody coming, and Tim Farley, and Kathy Cole.
Yeah, Farley.
Farley, okay. That being the case, Tim, why don't you introduce yourself and give a short bio as to who you are and where you are.
I live in Kinderhook, New York, which is about 26 miles southeast of Albany. I'm 23 years in education. I'm a building principal of an elementary and a middle school, and I've been with NYSAPE for a few years and fighting this battle to reclaim our classroom.
Lisa?
Great. Hi. Thank you for having us on your show, and Kathy as well. I live in Briarcliff Manor. My three children attend the Albany Public School District. My middle son is on the autism spectrum, and I'm with Tim Farley on the steering committee of New York State Allies, and we're all in it to regain our classrooms.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Eve Shippens. I'm from Buffalo, New York. I'm a parent and a teacher in the Buffalo Public School System, and my son is a third-year opt-out student.
Kathy?
My name is Kathy Cole, and I have the radio and I came from a different area in the education department. I was a vendor for 30 years, became aware of massive noncompliance with a health and safety law specific to New York State because two children were killed in their school gym. I was aware of proper funding, but the law wasn't being enforced, and I actually had the audacity to report that to the Attorney General, who was Cuomo at that point, and became the victim of severe retaliation and blacklisting by the Education Department, both New York City and New York State. And so I was exposing, you know, all different areas of corruption, and then I hit a brick wall when I realized that my learning disabled daughter, Annie, my youngest child of five, would quite possibly not be able to graduate in New York State because of the requirement for the region. So I jumped on that bandwagon, and I'm using my show as a vehicle for change, for educating the regular parent that might not, you know, be aware. Unfortunately, we think that the education department has the best interest of our children at heart, which unfortunately is not the case, I believe, in many instances. And so welcome to the show, and thank you, everyone, for being here. And I think, you know, we definitely do have a war on our hands, and our children are worth fighting for.
Lisa? Your idea of the show, as I mentioned earlier, last spring, right after the humongous success that the state of New York people, parents, pulled together. If you recall from that show, I said, be prepared for the pushback that the feds, the state, and et cetera, were going to push back. And you guys said you were most definitely aware and waiting for the pushback. What were some of the things that happened right after our show? I know Cuomo put out the message saying to parents, remember, these tests are not going to harm your kid. It's going to screw over teachers, but not harm your kid. Duncan got involved and suggested that maybe some retaliation. And then the state, I don't remember what the woman's position is, but she said there may be consequences. Tell us about what has happened since that great victory of yours.
Okay. Well, great victory for all New Yorkers. Close to 240,000 students opted out of this past spring's third through eighth grade standardized tests. So some of the pushback that came after, certainly during that, you brought up a lot of the retaliation in terms of financial from the federal government, that it would be a financial impact, which we had written a position paper on, and that did not stop parents. But afterwards, what had happened, the Board of Regents hired a new commissioner, Mary Ellen Ilya, she was the superintendent in Florida, in the big Florida school district, and while she joined New York State and the State Education Department, there was a lot of pushback there, too. We were very concerned about her history in being a huge proponent of reforms that we were seeing in New York. But moving forward, they fired the piercing testing company, State Ed, and hired Questar. And it should be noted that it was never voted for or discussed at the Board of Regents table, but the State Education Commissioner took it into her own hands. They fired Pearson and hired Questar. Now, a couple of quick things on Questar. We know that they're a huge proponent of computerized embedded testing, and that is something that the commissioner has alluded to, which is the last thing that parents want in New York State. And then in addition to hiring this new testing company, and by the way, for listeners out there, the test this spring is going to be still a Pearson test adopted by Questar, a passage or two cut off the ELA, but really no great change like we've been asking for. So we're still, pushing for more people to opt out. And then moving forward, Mary Ellen Ilya, Commissioner Ilya, went on a roadshow, and Tim can even elaborate on this, to to share with superintendents that they must curtail opt-out. And she had an opt-out toolkit and ways to which get parents to opt their children back in, and really was claiming that it was a communication breakdown problem. And many parents throughout New York have continued to claim, and we believe, you know, that this was, that she was also hired to do just that. But the bottom line is parents in New York are extremely informed. Educators and parents have come together at all levels. We're informed, and we know what these reforms are doing to our children. We see it in the classrooms. We know what's happening. And that, those are some of the things that try to take place to curtail the opt-out. And even at the state level, while it was summertime, our state legislators are not in session, but a lot of them have been, you know, reaching out to parents and trying to figure out what the best course of action is. And the governor, of course, came out with, and this is another thing that came out after the opt-out numbers were in, is he created a task force called the Common Core Task Force. Unfortunately, the task force really does not have what we would say parent representatives, or quite frankly, really on the ground field educators on the task force. And it's really, and it's run by Bill Parsons, who is a businessman and not an educator. So many different things have tried to happen, but parents will not be fooled. And then the latest was, in, I believe, in concert with the governor's task force, the commissioner came out with her Common Core survey, which was a survey that was very complex, very difficult to take, and did not allow for general comments. It was a survey in which you would have to take standard by standard and give comments or about each standard. So to bring us to why we're here today, New York State Allies for Public Education, NYSAPE, we all came together, our steering committee, and we developed this survey that we believe would be able to be taken by the many in New York, and also, you know, show the picture of what's actually parents and educators feel. And I'll stop there.
Okay. We're going to get back to that, because that's exactly what Lisa said. That's what brought us together on this show today, when I found out about the survey and then what Lisa and others did in response to the survey. Tim, Lisa said something that the new commissioner went around to all the superintendents with her, how to foil the opt-out movement. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a package program. You can see it online, actually, and it's a bunch of PowerPoints. They're filled with a bunch of propaganda and lies, saying how important these tests are and how it's really no big deal and it doesn't have any impact on the kids, but it gives valuable information about how the kids are doing and working towards being quote-unquote college and career ready. How you can determine that for a third grader is beyond me. But it's the same garbage we kept hearing from John King before we got rid of him. So nothing has changed. Lisa, I think, painted it quite well. She was brought in to quash the opt-out movement, and that's it. But the superintendents have seen, I would say the majority, you know, I don't think she swayed them. I think most superintendents are more in alignment with, you know, the views of New York State Allies. They see these tests for what they are. There is no value in the tests at all, and they know that they've been used to abuse the education system and teachers and kids.
Tell us about what's happening up in Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo is a little bit different than many of the other areas where the opt-out movement in New York State has really caught on. We have a big racial divide in our city. We are one of the most segregated cities. And, again, these tests came in with this promise that Race to the Top and these standardized tests in Common Core were all going to ensure civil rights. And since the schools have not been meeting the needs of core students and students of color for decades, this was sold to the parents very strongly. And so there's been a lot of misinformation put out to the parents in our district. and a lot of distrust also for, especially since most teachers are white women, for us to go and tell people about them when, of course, our administrators or superintendent is promoting this as a civil rights issue. So it's been difficult, and the opt-out movement has been slow to catch on in the city itself.
Okay, Kathy?
Well, I wanted to touch on what Lisa said. I went to the task force meeting on October 29th. I know the day because it's the 13 years to the day that my beautiful sister passed away very tragically and suddenly. And I said to my mom, we're going to go up there and we're going to do this for Annie. And I was actually in shock. I felt that the task force doesn't have a clue about learning disabled children. Like, that was just my view, that they just forgot about this whole section, and especially the kids in high school. It was barely touched on. Would you agree with that, Lisa?
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree with that. And Kathy, I wanted to also say, and I this is the best way that I explain it to friends when I'm talking about my own son and other children that have IEP plans, IEPs in schools. You know, our kids, all kids, right? They go to school, they start out, they go every year to school, they get promoted to the next grade. It comes to high school, their final year, and they can pass their courses in high school, pass the test for each individual course, but yet did not leave high school unless they pass the region exams. And I can appreciate why the region exams are in place, and I have a good understanding of it because my oldest daughter has taken these exams. But when you really think about it, I believe that the high school, the final year, your exams that you take at the last day of your courses should be what your exit exams are. And they should be in line with the same challenges that they are for the regions to some extent. But what we're finding is that students with disabilities that have come, shown up every day to school, they're in their final year, they've passed everything, they end up in this, if you will, this cycle of taking regents exams and staying several years more just to pass the regents, where it seems so unfair for all the good work that they've done. So I know that on our survey, I think it's quite interesting that nobody agrees with aligning the Regents exams with the Common Core. There's about 53% believe that there still should be Regents exams, and there's about 42% that believe that there should not, Regents exams should not be exit exams. So it's quite interesting there. So that could be for more discussion. But yes, Kathy, I believe the task force, you know, was not equipped to handle any of the education pieces of it, and especially not children with disabilities.
And I mean, if they want to keep the regents, that's fine. But if a child is incapable of passing it, to make them take it again and again and again, to put a spotlight on what they have, a learning disability, and then you're taking away from their core subjects because, of course, they're trying to study for that, hoping, you know, just hope that they're going to be able to pass. I think it's abusive.
There's other ways to demonstrate a child's ability, and, you know, and I think that when we talk about, and the regents came out, the Board of Regents said they came out with pathways to graduation. And I say, we change that to pathways to a diploma. And some of the most recent certificates and skills-based certificates are not, you know, diplomas. And there are many students that are graduating that should graduate with a diploma so they can move on to higher education, to jobs, to the military, to other things. So in other states, we don't have region exams. So they don't have region exams. So
they are able to come and go to our community colleges and our colleges in New York, but my daughter won't be able to do that.
Right. But I can tell you this. I can tell this to the listeners. The Board of Regents, especially the six regents that have been really on the side of parents and students and educators in terms of being against these reforms, there is huge discussions going on about making, you know, about ways in which we can have students with disabilities graduate with a diploma and without the type of testing cycle that removes from their course study.
And now I just have to do a quick plug then for Oceanside Library this Tuesday at 7 p.m. Assemblyman Kaminsky has the Assistant Commissioner for Special Education, as well as a few other guests, and it's specifically for this reason, and I believe he got 110 legislatures to sign on in the hopes of really, they keep saying, you know, that they're building a pathway for the learning disabled children, and they haven't. So we're asking them to, you know, finish the pathway so that these kids can graduate.
Let me go back to Eve and then Tim in a moment. Eve, you were saying that Buffalo is one of the most segregated school districts in the country. I think we have talked about this in the past. And that opt-out, either United opt-out or New York opt-out, have you been able to get a foothold in the Buffalo region? Are you, and this may not be a fair question to you, but are you aware of how United opt-out or opt-out New York has fared and the three other targeted districts that we talked about last week and before, the Big Five, that are currently now being set up to be taken over by the state to be handed over eventually to charter schools? Is opt-out or New York state opt-out, is it present in any of those other areas to your knowledge?
The biggest areas of opt-out in New York State are the suburban districts. And the Big Five have not been big on the opt-out movement. Again, these are the most the districts with the most amounts of children of color. These are also the most underfunded districts. So they have a long history of problems going into this whole thing about whether to opt their kids out or not. There needs to be a more concerted effort to educate people within these cities and also to really hear the history of each and every one of these cities and why there's so much resistance. And it really has to be done, you know, on a very small basis building up. Just to come in and tell people that the tests are bad and their children and that they mark children as failures. These are parents who have had a history of their children being marked as failures for decades. They themselves were marked as failures. So we do need to look at the fact that this, for these urban areas, this is a bigger issue than just simply we're refusing the test. The other part of that is I know that Buffalo and New York City, I'm not sure about the other three of the Big Five, our criteria-based schools use state assessment testing as part of the criteria to get into the schools. So if you're a parent who wants your student or your child in one of the better schools in Buffalo or New York City, I've done some research and looked and saw that it was the same there as well, that if your child refuses to take the exam, that lowers their overall score when they're trying to apply for a criteria-based school. So there's reasons for parents, it's almost like they're forced to have their child take the exam or they're just going to be excluded from these schools.
Well, Eve, can I ask you a question? This is Lisa Rudley. It is my understanding and the direction of Change the Stakes in New York City, I'm glad you're bringing this up. You know, Governor Cuomo two springs ago passed a law where a school district cannot use a test score as the only metric or measure to advance, promote, or to get into any programs. So they cannot. And so with that, we've advised, and parents have advised in New York City, that because you're opting out, that should not be the sole determinant. So in absence of a test score, they would have to use the other measurements that they use for these particular promotions or to the next grade or to the schools as a measurement so that by law they can't use just the test score from the standardized test.
Right, but if the standardized test scores, for example, are 20% of the weight on the criteria-based schools, then if you don't have those scores, then you're automatically down to an 80 as opposed to, out of, you know, 80 out of 100. So it does put children at a disadvantage. We are arguing inside Buffalo that students who come from outside of the state or from private or charter schools that don't give the state testing, that doesn't get held against them at all. And so that is definitely an equity that needs to be resolved.
Well, and, if we passed that law 2 years ago and they're still using that as criteria to get into the school, that I think that needs to be looked at.
Well, I think what Eve, you're saying is that, in fact, by saying that if you don't have the standardized test score, you're starting at it at 80 already. But I would, because it's 20% in that instance, I would argue that in the absence of a test score, they absolutely have to take all the other factors and make that 100%. So, and I think that's one in New York City. Yeah, New York City has seemed to have a good amount of success with that, so I'm happy to connect you with some of the Chains of Stakes parents, because that would be really a shame, because a lot of times parents don't know, and they would go in and say, okay, well, we're going to take the test because otherwise, you know, you're going to hold this against me for not taking it. No, we've heard a lot of different stories.
I totally agree with you, and I would love to get connected with more people who have been successful fighting this. We've been pushing, part of the Buffalo Parent Teacher Organization, and we've been pushing the district to put out a statement that explains exactly how they're going to calculate this. Last year, from our interim superintendent, we had one statement, but it was very vague. And then this year, we're still pushing to find out. We did have an OCR complaint about our criteria-based schools. So they are all in process of redoing their criteria for acceptance because it was found that we were not addressing students' civil rights in placement. So this is an ongoing effort in Buffalo, but any assistance we could get would be appreciated.
Right. Thank you. And
Lisa?
Sorry,
Lisa?
James, I just wanted to ask. Go ahead.
You remember in our conversation last spring, I raised the question whether or not what was happening in New York was a perfect storm situation, and that's why you guys were so successful. That was one thing that I raised. And then the second part, I said, could we, and I included myself in because you guys said I was to be a member of New York opt-out, could we bottle the formula that led to such great success in the state of New York and take it elsewhere? And everyone on the conversation said, absolutely. So what I've done now is by bringing Eve on, I'm saying, let's bottle this success formula and take it into our own state, into New York, to upper state New York. And if the other four or five districts that we identified last time as battleground states, I mean districts within the state, could use the help of the opt-out movement to protect itself. That's what I was talking about several months ago. So that's why I was hopefully able to bring you guys together. And now that something will come out of this as relates to joining the network, getting the power of the network behind what's happening in Buffalo and Rock. I don't remember all of them by name, so folks. So
Yonkers, Syracuse.
In Rochester, and all people, hopefully somebody up there is listening, so that we can get the success that we've had here in Long Island and other parts of state going there. Tim, let's bring you in. You haven't had that much to say so far.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
But only because I've been agreeing with what everyone's saying. The problem that I see, with the Big Five, the inner city schools, with opt out, is because they, you know, the message has been, hey, you know, your kids don't take the test. We don't do well in tests. You know, we're gonna change your school into a charter school. And that's already happening. I mean, it's happening right down the road, you know, in Albany. Hackett Middle School is in receivership this year. So it's a reality. And, you know, the new ESSA, you know, it's the new Elementary Secondary Education Act, now it's Every Student Succeeds Act or whatever it is, already passed through the House and likely to go through the Senate this week. It's not going to help, you know, the inner city schools at all. They're basically going to be getting the same exact thing. The suburban school gets some reprieve. You know, the AYP goes away. You know, no more waivers, no more NCLB nonsense. The states can withdraw from the Common Core. You know, it basically pushes the fight to the state level, but there's still the requirement from the federal government of 3-3 testing. There's still a requirement for the 95% participation rate, and there's a focus of federal oversight on the bottom, what is it, 5% at least, or 10% of the schools, you know, based on state. Yeah, 5%. So, you know, I feel bad because my feeling is that really is the goal of all of this, is to target these inner city schools and turn them all into charter schools. And there's $275 million annually for charter expansion.
Tim, I'm so glad you brought up receivership, because I just wanted to add in, you know, the receivership metric in order to determine if a school will go into receivership is so heavily based on the standardized test. And, you know, the people in these communities, and I'm from a community that is extremely diverse, and we have 50% free and reduced lunch students, and we're completely underfunded, and we have a big funding issue in New York State. Foundation aid is not fully funded. We have many issues with funding, but what I'm finding with my own community, what we need is, we don't need more tests. We need more social workers, more guidance counselors, more community schools, more outreach to the parent communities. And we know that charter schools have not proven to be better than the public schools. There's so many studies that are coming out. So this whole transaction of turning schools over to the private, you know, to private school, you know, become a private charter or private schools, it's just incredible, because I think for, you know, Eve, for Buffalo City, and for Albany and for Syracuse and some in Yonkers and New York City, these receivership schools to be the regulations that the state education department came up with are so test heavy that I would love to see all of those schools, you know, opt out of the test, and we fight for what's really needed for the communities. But I know that's a hard, you know, it's hard enough even for the schools that are not in receivership in areas that are, you know, not in the suburbs.
And if I could just say one thing that struck me from the task force meeting as well, it was the presenter, you were a presenter, Jamel, and then it was the woman from Sleepy Hollow, I believe she's a teacher, and she had two PhDs take the eighth grade, I believe it was ELA, and one passed and one failed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
by the way,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, by the way, after, you know, it seemed like she, the Common Core standards and how she was getting along in her school district, which is actually the next school district over from Ossining, which is in Sleepy Hollow, it seemed to be that they were kind of getting along and doing okay, and she kindly came up afterwards to me and said, oh, by the way, I opt my children out of the state test that are aligned with the Common Core. You know, so, I mean, but all fairness, her boss, the principal, is on the task force. So it was a very strange panel to be on.
In a precarious position. But I mean, initially I felt, you know, one way, but then when she stated that, you know, these tests are so difficult, that, you know, she had two PhDs take it, one passed and one failed. So, you know, how do you expect an average eighth grader to pass?
They don't. And,
and then they don't need
that's a hidden treasure out there. Right, they don't. Let's get to the survey, Lisa, that you guys just released the results of. Let's go through that. And what I had in mind here is there was a tremendous amount of unity back in the spring that led to a huge success in terms of opting out. As I look at the numbers in the current survey, I see that same unity, and that Cuomo and Duncan and et cetera have not been able to put a dent in that unity. So let's go through those numbers to verify what I just said.
Okay. So we had close to 12,000 people take the survey in a week's time. And Tim and I are on the Knight Safe Steering Committee. We were extremely excited about the response to people actually taking the survey. And again, this was in response to Commissioner Mary Ellen Ilya's survey that was very difficult to take and really did not allow for open comments. So basically, the survey results say that New Yorkers reject the Common Core standards. And we had parents, teachers, administrators, grandparents, concerned New York State residents, and school board members take this survey. And approximately 70% oppose the standards. 23% have concerns with them, but they support them. And only 3.7% actually support the Common Core standards. What I thought was really interesting, and actually close to 83% all said that the Common Core standards for grades K through 3 in both ELA and math were developmentally inappropriate. What I thought was really great about the survey is we asked, did it worsen instruction or did it improve instruction? And we got, again, overwhelmingly that it has worsened instruction at all levels. And the test survey respondents, close to 92% disagree with say that the tests are flawed, and about 6% have concerns with them. So close to 97% have issues with the test. I just want to share, I think this is really interesting. For the most part, NYSAFE has gotten a lot of great response about the survey. I did receive an email right before I got onto the show, and it was from a teacher in New York State that was really concerned about my quote in our press release where I said the governor needs to eliminate the Common Core standards. So I think we get a little bit entrenched in semantics. All parents and educators across the country want high standards for their children. And I think the problem with the Common Core standards clearly is that it came in the most undemocratic fashion. And on top of that, we've seen so many different issues with it at all different grade levels. But what's going to be coming out, and I'll announce it here, and I'll have more details. It was announced at one of the forums that I presented in New Rochelle, which is in Westchester County. Ken Mitchell, a former superintendent, now associate professor at Manhattanville, has been working with the authors of a study that has come out that has said the Common Core standards, the cognitive complexity is inferior, okay? It's inferior to the New York State standards. So what it's saying is that the New York State standards are absolutely superior to the Common Core standards. Now, do we need to evolve standards over time? Of course. And that's what actually was about to happen right before the Common Core standards got adopted in New York State by Governor Patterson's administration. And I think that's very interesting. We call them, like Tim, the lost standards, which are ELA standards that were... Yeah, go ahead, Tim. Could you share a little bit about that? Share a little bit about the lost standards.
So when they started taking the New York State Education Department survey, and there are 2,200 standards that you had to kind of go through, I only got to one of the anchor standards in kindergarten. It took me over an hour to rewrite all of them. What I did was I pulled out the law standards, the ELA standards that was headed up by Regent Saul Cohen. And you read the quote-unquote law standards, and which was done with total teacher input, all the content specialists took into consideration the ELL students and students with disabilities. And you read the standards, and they're good standards, they're high standards, but they're appropriate for the grade level. And you just match them up side by side to the Common Core, and you just want to take the Common Core, crumple it up, and toss it in the shredder. They're horrible. So, right before
New York State was adopting the Common Core standards, this group had already worked on a next set of standards for New York State. And I think what's an especially important note is when Commissioner Elia came out with her survey, I contacted Sandra Stowski, who was on the validation committee, who would not sign off on the Common Core standards. She's from Massachusetts, who had a huge stake in writing the Massachusetts standards, which we know are the golden standards. She personally said to me that the way in which the survey is being done by our commissioner, which has been a survey that's been done by several other states, actually is very deceptive and misleading, because you cannot just survey and analyze standard by standard. You need to look at it in an organizational fashion. And again, foundationally looking at standards is also important, not just picking apart standard by standard. And she said to me, right when the survey came out from the commissioner, she said, "Lisa, I guarantee you the commissioner's going to report that teachers are supportive of the Common Core standards." And lo and behold, 3 weeks later, even before her survey was closed, she reported preliminary numbers at the Board of Regents meeting saying teachers support the Common Core standards, and she had about 5,500 respondents. And so we did our survey, and also of note is, and Kathy has been to several of the Common Core task force, and Eve, I don't know if you've been able to attend one, but all majority of parents and educators and concerned citizens and residents have all stated that they're concerned and have issues with the Common Core standards as they are today, with the tests associated with it, and with the nature in which we've lost so much local control for our communities.
Okay. Well, we have about 10 minutes left, and what I have been doing since I've been on the road is just a sort of like a report of what has happened this past week being on the road. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to like shorten my time. I'm going to ask each one of you to take 30 to 45 seconds and give your conclusion as to what we've been talking about, and then I'll come back with my little update on what's happening on the road.
And I just have one more question for Tim. You being a principal, and Eve, I know you're a teacher, I really commend both of you for speaking out for the children and for what's right. Do you feel any intimidation or fear for speaking out?
I'll let you speak first.
Okay, and I'll make this part of my closing statement. We've been advised by both our local union and the New York State Teacher Union that we cannot say, as a teacher, I am against Common Core, or I'm against the state test, or I'm for opt-out. But it is very important that, you know, people stand up. And I do know that I've been, you know, advised not to do this. But as a teacher, and as a parent, but as a teacher, I am in support of opt-out. I oppose the Common Core learning standards. They have not allowed me to teach the way I like to teach science in my 7th and 8th grade classroom. And this year, I have abandoned using them. And I don't care the repercussions or intimidations. People need to stand up against unjust rules.
And I believe it's your civil right as a public policy issue that we're dealing with this, that you should be able to use your, you know, your speech to your First Amendment speech.
Tim, who's going to ask your turn?
Yeah, I've been approached several times, you know, saying, could you maybe tone it down a little bit? Or what we agreed to was, you know, I never mentioned my school's name. I'm not speaking for my school. I speak for myself as a private citizen. Sometimes I speak as a representative of near state allies for public education. But I have my First Amendment rights, and I'm going to exercise them. And I exercise them quite often and quite loudly. You know, I, as a private citizen, definitely encourage parents to opt out until we get this right, until the tests are age and grade appropriate, until they're not tied to teachers' evaluations rating, and they're not, you know, handing over all the data, which they still are, to these tech companies and third-party vendors. Until that happens, opt out. It's the greatest strategy we have.
Let me get your last
30, 45
seconds in here.
Well, I think I said it all with that, so I'll give my time to someone else.
Okay. Kathy?
Well, I just want to say that, first of all, Lisa, thank you for everything you do, and even Tim, being the victim of retaliation for voicing my First Amendment rights by the New York State and New York City Department of Education, I know how powerful they are, and I know, you know, that it's their way or the highway. So it's so important, I think, anyone listening out there, you know, we really have to band together. If you don't understand something, reach out to Lisa, reach out to Tim. You know, Facebook is a wonderful tool to educate yourself and do the right thing for your children. And just my view, my opinion, it's all about the money. It's not about the kids. And we need to try and chip away at that because it's not right.
Let me just take a few minutes and say a few things. Lisa, Tim,
and Eve,
I got involved
in what's happening in New York, one as a scholar, and that was my thing. Things were happening here that I needed to know about, et cetera. And I think I hear an echo, so I don't know how we...
fit right into what I was studying in terms of the war on public education. I got here in New York and got involved in what is happening here last year or so because of one person, and it's something that I want to do right here, right now. This show was dedicated to that one person. She doesn't know this. I don't even know if she's listening or not, and maybe she'll hear about it later. But it was because of this one person I'm about to mention in a few minutes that I got involved here. Oh, sometime back in early spring, this person, she accidentally came across my radio talk show, The War Report on Public Education. Daily, I impressed her, and she started listening to the show on a regular basis. She got in touch with me, and she also put it on my Facebook group called The War Report on Public Education that she would love to see me debate Bill Gates. And she thought that I would be the perfect person to take him on. I got back in touch with her, and I said, I don't share my platform with anyone that's warring on us, and particularly those millionaires, billionaires who have more money than we will ever be able to imagine. And they also own the corporate media. They have their own platform. So Bill Gates and I would never have a debate unless, of course, he was willing to pay for it. And then, yes, I'd debate him on any platform, any place, anywhere. But then I also said it wouldn't really be a fair debate because I'd kick his ass. Simple as that. Hubris, yeah, whatever you want to call it. But she and I became good buddies. And when the New York opt-out group had this phenomenal success, I got in touch with her and I said, I want to do a show with the group. And she said, okay, who do you want? I said, I don't know all the people that I should reach out to. She says, let me deal with this. I'll get back to you. I was saying she was going to get back to me maybe a day or two later. How about a half an hour later? She gets back to me, and she says, I have Lisa. And she starts naming off names. I'm going like, whoa. It was a mother load. The person, and I wanted her to be on the show, but she said no. She wanted to give everyone else in the group an opportunity. I did meet her so many months later. It was October 21st when I started my journey on it was October 17th. I started my journey on the 14th, coming to Connecticut, and from Connecticut came down to New York City for a one-day conference, and I got a chance to meet this woman. I really wanted her to be on this show, too, but again, she wanted to have the opportunity for others to be on the show. Folks, I'm talking about one Christine Zirkelback. Christine, I hope you are listening. I'm sure you will be surprised that I'm dedicating this show to you. You have been and will always be my go-to person for all things in New York. I'm glad I had a chance to meet you this few months ago, and I hope that I get a chance to meet you and have you on the show at some point in the time, in the future.
I'd like to ask Lisa, have you gotten any response from the Task Force Commission or Commissioner Elia about your survey?
No, we have not. I have not received any phone calls. Tim, I don't know if you have. No, we haven't. We haven't received any. I've received a couple of emails from some region board members thanking us for doing this, but I have not received any calls or emails from the governor or the commissioner. But I will share with you.
I'd be interested
to see what their response is. And I happen to be, and actually Tim facilitated this, I will be on the Susan Arbiter show in another week and a half to talk on a panel to speak with the Commissioner Mary Ellen Ilya and the Chancellor Nancy Zimfer and some superintendents to talk about the opt-out movement. It's a show, it's a series that they're running. So it'll be quite interesting. We can compare our surveys, and that will be fun, right, Tim?
Yeah. We have to wind up because we have like under a minute. I want to thank everyone for being here, and I've gotten to know and respect Dr. Miller very much. And I would urge anyone out there that can, no donation is too small for his GoFundMe. He's doing this, you know, very important documentary and documenting the war on public education. And I would love it if we could all, you know, support him in that way. So it's Dr. James Avington Miller, The War Report on Public Education. And I'm going to say thank you to the guests, and hopefully we'll be having another show fairly soon. And, you know, keep updating, okay? Lisa, Tim, Eve, sound good?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you for all you do.
And, guys, you'll be back on my show. As you already know, you already have a home on The War Report. Thank you, everyone, and everyone have what's left of a good Sunday.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.